This is HPR episode 2865 entitled, The YouTube Channels I Really Like. It is hosted by Arun Patton, and is about 14 minutes long, and carries a clean flag. The summary is, just some random thoughts on some random YouTube channels.
This episode of HPR is brought to you by Archive.org. Support universal access to all knowledge by heading over to archive.org/donate.
Well, hi there. This is Jerome Batten again with another podcast. And this time I thought, let's talk about the YouTube channels that I really like. You know, just some random thoughts on some random YouTube channels. I mean, there are a lot of YouTube videos, lots of YouTube channels, and of course a lot of viewers. So what makes me any special? Well, nothing. So there's that. But nevertheless, let's just proceed and see where this is leading us. So the first thing that I like to talk about is it's a sort of a comedy channel. It's called The Late Show with Stephen Colbert, and he is a sort of a late night talk show host in New York. He is clearly a liberal or a Democrat or both, but anyway, really not a conservative. But I find him funny. So lots of laughs, at least on my part. And whenever he publishes a show, it's one of the things that I try to do to end the day. You know, end the day on a good note. He doesn't publish every day, and that's a weird thing. So he publishes outtakes of his shows, so without commercials. Okay, that's great. I mean, I hate commercials. But if I then become interested and I said, okay, let's buy a subscription to view the content, it's banned because I'm living in Europe and not in the US. So, well, anyway, that's their loss, right? I'm not going to talk politics because I don't think this is the place for that. It's just, well, I like the show. By the way, all the shows and channels I mentioned are in the show notes with the URLs. So if you got interested, just hop over to the show notes, click on one of the URLs and enjoy. So the next the next channel I like to talk about is the one called Curious Mark. And Curious Mark is a techie guy, and he likes to work on restoring old stuff. Now, that by itself is great. I mean, he has a whole story of rejuvenating a teletype model 15 and model 20 that's back from 1915 to 1935, that day and age, so a long time ago. And this is rather special at the moment because this year it's 50 years ago that the world put the man on the moon with the Apollo space program. Now, Curious Mark has somehow gotten his hand on an original Apollo AGC, and the AGC is the Apollo Guidance Computer. And the Apollo Guidance Computer is it's a rather cool piece of technology, even for 90. It's high tech in 1969. right? And before you think, well, that can't be high tech, trust me, it can. How do you put someone on the moon? How do you write software? How do you store a program reliably into a machine that's going to travel through space? There are no spare parts in space. You know, you can't just hop over and start working on stuff. And it's at the moment it's a series of it. Today I saw part 21, so there are at least 21 parts in this series, the Apollo AGC, and it's fascinating. It absolutely is fascinating. The way the hardware in at that time worked, how they sort of built hardware ROM by using magnetic core memory, but then weaving small threads in a specific order through the cores in a way that it was a read-only memory module. One of the parts they simulate flying to the moon, guided by the AGC, and at some point they want to start to land on the moon, and for that you need the input of accelerometer, so that the capsule, the rocket part, whatever, knows that he is descending in a controlled way. And well, they haven't got that hooked up yet, so that's where this exercise stops. But the way this works and the way you use verb and nouns to select a program and parameters into a system, and you only have 7 segment displays to see the output, it's amazing. It really is. Anyway, so that's a really nice thing to see, and fascinating. That's all I can say. Well, and then there is the other channel. It's completely unrelated, except for one video that sort of overlaps Curious Mark's Apollo AGC series. And that's the Moshix channel. Now, the Moshix channel, for those who have heard all my podcasts, because my first one was about running your mainframe on Linux for fun and profit. And I already discussed the Moshix video channel there, because he puts online a lot of videos describing how old mainframes work, and in much detail and very easy to follow. But now his recent video is where he shows how you can find the original source code of the Apollo guidance computer, because the software for the Apollo guidance computer is open source. It is on GitHub, and there's even a compiler that runs on Intel hardware that can compile the old stuff to the original bytecode. And there is an emulator that runs that bytecode. So, and it's all in one project. I'll put the link in the show notes, to the link to the Git repository. Anyway, so Moshix describes how you clone this Git repository and compile the software, and then run it. And it's always. That's one of the other things. I'm subscribed to his channel, all three so far, and it's fun, and it's something else, you know, than the standard. Oh, this is Linux stuff, and oh, this is Windows, or this is, I don't know. Anyway, mainframe is not really mainline anymore, except for some small parts of the universe. But nevertheless, it's fun to listen to. And the last one I would like to discuss is, let's put it this way, he's a hacker, And this project is certainly one that you would call worthy of the term hacking. But what did this guy do? Well, he bought a missile base in the US, one that was scrapped when there was this sort of, I don't know what the English term for it is, but at some point in the 80s or the 90s, the Russia and the US decided that they would cut down on all the nukes they had, and they all had, both sides had to demolish parts of their nuclear infrastructure to show the other side that they were serious with it. And so this guy bought a piece of land from the government, from knowing that that piece of land beneath all the grass would contain a complete missile base, of course without the rocket. And he starts to dig. He starts to locate where the probable entrance is. He starts to dig. There used to be a sort of an elevator shaft that was completely filled with debris from the demolition of the topside building. There was a small topside building going to the elevator. So he excavates that. Then there is a really big blast door weighing tons of, weighing tons. Anyway, and he gets in and he films a lot of the whole adventure, you know. And at the end of this all, it's I believe it's going to be his man cave to sit and relax with drinking buddies. I don't know, but the whole journey from having just a piece of land and somewhere beneath that is a nuclear facility, defense facility, is pretty amazing. And the fun thing is that channel, the name of that channel is Death Wears Bunny Slippers. Yeah, it's Death Wears Bunny Slippers. Now, why would it be called Death Wears Bunny Slippers? It seems pretty unrelated. You know, bunny slippers, death. What has that to do? Well, death has clearly, of course, with the nuclear rocket, but bunny slippers? Really? Well, if you think about it, those facilities were manned 24/7 for years. So you went to your work for, I don't know, an 8 or 12 hour shift. I don't know how much, maybe 24-hour shift could also be. But if it's a 24-hour shift, at some point, you're going to sleep. And if you go to sleep, at some point during the night, you'll probably wake up and wanted to go to the toilet. So you put on your slippers. Yeah, that's right, your bunny slippers. And you hop on over to the toilet, do your thing, and get back to bed. But at the same time, you're also responsible for a pretty hefty amount of death and destruction. Talking about death and destruction, you know that you've probably heard of those launch codes, and that they're really secret. Well, I once was at in a museum. It was a nuclear submarine museum, and it had 12 tubes to launch nuclear missiles. And on every tube there was this keypad where you could enter the launch code to really unlock the missile. And there was a small note there saying that up until the mid 80s, so 1986, there was some concern that when it ever would come to the moment that they really had to launch those missiles, you really don't want people to be unable to enter any launch code. So, and it was 12 digits, but believe it or not, it was 12 times a zero. That's right. 12 times a zero would be enough to launch a nuclear missile. back until 85, and then somehow I think they thought that they could wise up a little and then do something else. Well, anyway, that's my short note for today. If you have any comments, any questions, just hop over to the show notes. Give some comments, give some feedback. I love to read them. I really do. And till we meet again, bye-bye.
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HPR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club and is part of the binary revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license.